The next case for argument is 162535, Lufthansa versus Astronics against Lufthansa. Good morning.
May it please the court. The district court's ruling below includes two critical errors. First, an erroneous claim construction that is contradicted by the specification, the prosecution history, and the claim language itself. And secondly, a compounded error of finding indefiniteness based on a concept of a margin of error or tolerance that is nowhere in the intrinsic record. Turning first to the claim construction issue, the district court said that a zero time difference in the timing element of a claim was disclaimed based on the prosecution history. This court's test for a disclaimer is that it has to be intentional, clear, and unmistakable.
Well, it seems to me you had the simultaneous language in there. You were facing a rejection because of the Crane reference. And then you took it out, and you took out the word simultaneous and exchanged it for subsequent, and that seems very clearly to have been the basis upon which you ultimately allowed, right? Is this an accurate summation of the history?
Yes, but the crux is why the rejection was there, and it wasn't over Crane. The rejection, there was an original rejection, Chief Judge Prost, over Crane. And on appendix pages 315 and 316, the prosecutors add in this simultaneous A subset and B subset predetermined maximum time. Then the examiner on pages A322 and 23 rejects it as redundant and says it's redundant and so it's indefinite and it's redundant and so it doesn't deal with Crane. But the examiner never disputed the distinction that the prosecutors made at A316, that the difference between this invention and Crane is that Crane was a single detection, it was a light beam, single detection, and that this invention had two separate detections of separate pins. That was the basis to distinguish Crane, and there is no rejection of that, there's no dispute about that. The only
issue... Let's go back to the simultaneous detection.
Yeah.
Okay, the word simultaneous is included in the claims.
Correct.
You removed the word simultaneous from the claims.
Right.
And now you argue that it should be included.
No. This is the key point. Is that on page A22, 322, and A323, the examiner says both condition A, that says simultaneous, and condition B, the predetermined maximum, includes a zero time difference. The examiner said both conditions include a zero time difference. So in changing from simultaneous, you're not giving up the zero time difference. It's already included in condition B. They changed the language to end the redundancy and to make clear that it's two separate detections. And then at pages A329 and A330, they say, look, we're changing this to get rid of the redundancy, to have only one term because you were concerned about the redundancy. We still distinguish Crane because we've got two separate detections. Nobody thought. There's absolutely no evidence in that prosecution history that they were getting rid of zero time because the examiner...
But you didn't say, accepting your argument, just following it through, mm-hmm. about two separate detections, you
yeah.
could have then, if that were the case, you could have kept the word simultaneously in the revised claim language. You could have said only if they are simultaneous detection between the first and the second.
Potentially they could have, but the problem was the examiner said it was redundant. And so they took out simultaneous because the examiner focused on that as being redundant.
Redundant to what?
Redundant to less than a predetermined maximum. Right. The examiner said that the way the claim language reads now is detecting only if the time between the detection of a first contact pin and the subsequent detection of a second contact pin of the plug does not exceed a predetermined maximum.
You wanted to claim both simultaneous detection and subsequent detection up to a predetermined time value.
Sure. Yes. But my point is that they did include that.
The examiner said you can't do that because if you're claiming subsequent detection, that's going to include simultaneous.
Right. That's right. So it's going to include simultaneous. It's going to include it definitionally because less than a predetermined maximum includes zero. That's the point. And so in order to get rid of the redundancy, they got rid of the word simultaneous and they added the word subsequent. And subsequent in this context doesn't have a temporal meaning, at least not necessarily. And we show in the specification, right, that a zero time difference is both the ideal case and a preferred embodiment.
It seems to me that you amended and you rejected the limitation simultaneous in order to save the patent from being indefinite.
But it was only because the terms were redundant. And the whole point is they smooth out the redundancy. They made it a single statement with subsequent. And the point is, when you look at the prosecution history, Judge Reyna, it's very clear that the examiner thought that both simultaneous
I understand that. Yeah. You sought to clarify.
Yes, clarify.
And but in doing so, you actually rejected a very significant claim limitation.
No, but that's the point. They didn't reject the claim limitation.
Now you're clarifying before us.
Well, I'm trying to explain what the prosecution history says. And when you look at it and piece it together, I think this is at least reasonably here from the prosecution history. Nobody thought they were disclaiming the zero time difference. They were simply taking out the word simultaneous and adding the word subsequent to clarify that
it's a single thing. Did Crane include simultaneous detection?
Did Crane include simultaneous detection? Well, I think the answer is...
You conceded, yes, it does.
No, what they said was that they said the examiner seems to think it includes simultaneous detection, and so we're saying we're different. And the only thing Crane did was a single detection. Right? There's no concept of a zero time difference in Crane.
The only way you got past Crane at the prosecution stage is by eliminating the word simultaneous.
Well, the rejection on Crane at that point was only for redundancy. It wasn't that it's not innovative or it's the same as Crane. It was just that this was redundant language, and therefore the examiner said it was unclear, both with respect to indefiniteness and with respect to Crane. Read the prosecution history. It says the same thing with respect to both.
Can I move you off before your time runs out?
Sure.
I speak only for myself, obviously, but I find somewhat persuasive your friend's alternative argument with respect to control means.
Okay.
That's the indefinite, leaving aside the basis upon which the district court relied for indefiniteness, but their alternative, that he rejected the notion that control means was indefinite because he described it as a structure, was logic elements, yada, da, da, da.
Right.
And I'm having a hard time. I mean, logic elements isn't mentioned anywhere in the specification. I'm having a harder time concluding that control means is definite.
Well, logic elements aren't disclosed, but the specification discloses a voltage switch as part of the control means. That's at appendix page 54, lines 5 to 10.
But the voltage switch doesn't do the job by itself.
Well, it's part of it, though. It's part of the structure.
But where is the rest of the structure?
So there are basically four components to the structure.
We're looking at box 60, right?
Right, box 60, right? Yeah. So, but if you look at the specification that describes box 60.
Why don't you show it to me? Can you point me to it? It'll be easier for me to follow along.
It's in the patent. So at appendix page 48... is one of the drawings of box 60. But when you look at and so it's a black box.
Box 60 is figure four. Are we looking at figure four?
I'm on figure one and figure four.
Okay.
It's in both.
Okay.
But if you look at figure three, which might be more clear,
Sure. I mean, box 60 is what you're pointing to as the structure, right?
No, it's the drawing. It's a black box, but then the specification explains...
what box 60 is.
Yeah, what box 60 is. And it says that there's a voltage switch that's part of box 60.
Wait, I mean, this is what I wanted you to show me, not the picture.
I'm sorry. So if you look at appendix at page 54, lines 5...
Can you just give us the column?
It is column... I'm sorry. If you look at... I think it's column 5.
Okay.
Yeah, it's column 5, lines 5 to 10. The control and supervision unit 60 further comprises a voltage switch by means of which the supply voltage of 110 volts 60 hertz can be applied to the internal supply lines. The supply lines connect the control and supervision unit to the line supervision detector connected to the short circuit detector.
Where does that say anything except box 60 is a voltage switch?
It says comprises a voltage switch.
But it doesn't say anything else. Is that your problem?
So there again...
Read in other words, but they're not there.
Right. The only thing that isn't in the specification specifically is the internal circuitry. But what Dr. Collins testified the logic element was circuitry. The only thing that's missing when you have a voltage switch and supply lines and signal lines going into the box is the circuitry that actually operates the switch. And what Dr. Collins testified is somebody skilled in the art would understand what circuitry to build there. And this court has held in repeated cases that the absence of internal circuitry in the specification isn't a problem for indefiniteness. That's the only thing that was missing, and that's the only thing the logic elements were internal circuitry. Everything else, the switch, the lines, is there. And so based on this court's precedent, this is sufficiently definite for somebody skilled in the art to understand the bounds of claims. I'm cutting into my reply time.
Okay, why don't we hear from the other side?
Okay, thank you.
Morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I'm Jonathan Fryman on behalf of the appellee. I'd like to start with the 112F, the alternative grounds for affirmance.
Yeah, can you respond, actually, to start off where your friend left off, which
yes,
is
absolutely.
Why the district court, his description, he described the structures, logic elements to receive and transmit internal and external signals and configure to activate switches based on those signals.
Well, the first thing is that the specification doesn't say logic elements.
Well, that's a word, but why isn't what your friend pointed us to in the specification specific to draw those conclusions?
The voltage switch, well, the unit here, the functions being claimed in the means plus function claiming here are control and supervision. A voltage switch doesn't control or supervise. It's not doing the timing detection or determining whether they're both there at the same time after they've been inserted. So it's just an on-off switch. You can't do the controlling or the supervising. We're talking about the brains here, the control and supervision unit. And in case after case where this court has construed a means plus function claiming of a control box, a control unit, any similar language, it said you have to disclose the structure. The specification has to say what it is. It's not enough that a skilled artisan can imagine one or more structures that, in fact, could fulfill the function. That's pure functional claiming. That's not enough. So the voltage switch can't do it. That's just, again, an on-off switch that the brains will tell it what to do. There's just inputs. Now, when he gets up on rebuttal, ask him to point where in the specification it shows you what is actually doing the controlling and supervising, not what are the wires in, what are the wires out, but
so
what you're in the brains, what's doing it.
If the specification had included voltage switch and controller, you would still say it's indefinite because it just says controller.
That would just be reiterating control units. Now, it would be harder.
I didn't hear what you said.
Yeah, that would just be reiterating control box or control unit. To say controller is just a synonym for that. Again, there's no structure that's provided there. It's just saying the function. It controls. That's a function. There needs to be a structure. That's the quid pro quo under the 112F standard, as this court has said repeatedly. And again, the question isn't, can we get a skilled artisan to look at the specifications and imagine a structure. Biomedino makes it very clear that that's not the standard. The question is whether a skilled artisan would read the structure, would read the specification, I'm sorry, to clearly claim the structure.
This point, because I'm a little confused where the fact line and the law line in on is. I mean, it seems like the district court made a factual conclusion that a skilled artisan would understand this disclosed logic elements. Do we have to find that there was clear error here, or do we just find a legal error that he's pointing to something that is not disclosed at all?
I think you can describe it either way, to be honest, Your Honor. You could say that the court clearly erred by applying the wrong legal standard under Biomedino, or you could simply say that there was clear error in relying on an expert opinion that applied the wrong legal standard. But either way,
what do we do if we reach that conclusion? Do we vacate and remand for a new determination of indefiniteness under a proper standard and new factual findings?
Not in this circumstance, Your Honor, because the question is whether there is any evidence of record whatsoever that can support the notion that a skilled artisan would read the specification to disclose the structure, and there's no such evidence. So in light of that, the court simply reverses, and I'm not sorry, simply affirms on the alternative ground and finds that the patent is indefinite for lack of structure in the means plus function claiming. If there are no further questions about the means plus function claiming, I'll turn to the grounds of the district court's decision. And again, as Your Honors noted, what we have here in the prosecution history is a clear situation where the patent said both simultaneous and predetermined maximum time, and then the determination was made by the applicant to remove simultaneous in response to the examiner's rejection and add subsequent. It's very clear that there's a disclaimer of simultaneous, and it's very clear that the expert testimony before the district court at the time of claim construction was that a disclaimer of simultaneous, if it happened, necessarily included some tolerance. That was unrebutted expert testimony in claim construction. Now, what they've done in order to try to muddle the record is...
No, I'm not clear. Let's assume we accept what the district court said about simultaneous, that simultaneous is excluded. What he or she, I don't remember who it was, says is we're still not clear because simultaneous, we don't know what it means. But all the experts said that simultaneous means the time from 0 seconds to a tolerance value. So is that what we're down to, that the district court said, well, we don't know what the tolerance value is. That's what makes the claim indefinite?
That's right, Your Honor.
That's what I understood his argument to be.
That's right.
Okay,
yeah, yes,
so you're saying that it's the tolerance value. It's the fact that that's indefinite. It strikes me that given the expert testimony, tolerance value was not indefinite under our cases, at least in the way we describe our.
The first question in terms of determining if the district court clearly erred in its analysis of the subsidiary factual question of what the tolerance was according to the expert testimony is what was the evidence that the district court actually had before it at the time of claim construction, not what was submitted later in a motion for reconsideration or after the judge said not to send him any more stuff at the summary judgment phase on indefiniteness, but what did he have before him at the claim construction hearing, at the Markman hearing? And what he had before him was Astronics expert saying, well, you can't figure out what the tolerance is. It could be a wide range. One skilled in the art doesn't know. In fact, it's a subjective decision. And what you have from Luthansa is Luthansa's expert saying at his deposition, well, yeah, there is some tolerance here, and no, I don't know what it is, and I don't know if it's a half second or a millionth of a second. That's a huge difference, Your Honor. We're not talking about something that's meaningless. We're talking about the tolerance could be so big that we really don't know what is subsequent and what is simultaneous plus tolerance. That was the district court's factual finding on all of the extrinsic evidence before it at claim construction. Of course, that's subject to clear error review under Teva. Now, did the district court err in refusing to consider the second expert report, which was submitted on a motion for reconsideration? Separate question. There, the judge said, well, our local rules say you can't submit another expert report at reconsideration if you could have submitted it to start with. And there it was clear, I mean, we'd made the assertions of indefiniteness from the beginning on this basis. We'd submitted an expert report on this basis. We'd raised this issue at depositions on this basis. We had briefed it at the Markman hearing. They'd submitted a rebuttal expert. They just chose not to address this issue. So then they wait until after claim construction and submit it along with a motion for reconsideration. Well, according to the district court's local rules, we didn't even have a chance to respond to the motion for reconsideration because the court doesn't want to waste its time on that stuff if it looks at a motion for reconsideration and sees that stuff could have been submitted earlier. So it just denied the motion for reconsideration. They didn't challenge that. They didn't say the court erred in its motion for reconsideration decision. So the second report is, it's just not relevant. It's not relevant to the question of whether the district court clearly erred under Teva in resolving the question of the extrinsic evidence before it at the Markman hearing. The third expert report, again, that they point to throughout their briefs and try to create questions of disputed fact on, again, that's submitted at summary judgment after the court has already said, I've made my determination at claim construction that the patent is indefinite, and I don't want to hear argument on again because you could have told me all about it during our entire regular process. You didn't do that. I don't want more factual dispute. The only purpose of the summary judgment process at this point is I found that the patent is indefinite. If the patent is indefinite, is it invalid? You can brief that question if you want to. It's sort of an obvious answer. And if it's invalid, can it be infringed? Again, brief it if you want to. The answer is obvious. He gives them a chance to brief it, and then he grants summary judgment after that. If there are no further questions, Your Honors, no. I thank the court.
All right, so a lot to cover here. First, I'll talk.
Why don't you start with the last point? If we agree, the district court excluded all of the expert testimony on the second round. Without that testimony, where are you left in terms of making the argument on zero tolerance or whatever?
So we're fine without the expert testimony. And first of all, the district court didn't exclude that second declaration. That's absolutely incorrect. The record makes clear nobody challenged the second declaration.
When did the second declaration come in?
On reconsideration. But the district court never said that it was excluding that. But the first declaration, which nobody challenges, includes this. So, for example, their expert, Mr. Bajak, concedes in his expert report, Appendix 462, paragraph 39, that the tolerance he's talking about is a normal tolerance. He then concedes in his deposition that he's not rendering an indefiniteness opinion on that at all. Our expert, Dr. Collins, in his deposition, specifically says that the claims are discernible with a disclaimer, and that somebody skilled in the art would understand tolerances and what they were. That's Appendix 425 to 426. My opponent says that the expert said it could be 1 millisecond or half a second. That's not what he said. That was the question that was asked, and he said, look, he didn't answer that question. He said, but you have to look at is the context. What's the device? What's going on? Somebody skilled in the art would understand the tolerance. That's the evidence, and that's in before reconsideration. That's in before claim construction.
Didn't the district court say that it did not rely on any expert evidence?
The district court may have said that, but the point is that there was no evidence supporting this tolerance other than the expert evidence. There's no this word tolerance, this concept, is not in the prosecution history, the spec, or the claims. So the only thing he could possibly have relied on there was expert evidence. There was no other evidence. That's why we say this should have been a summary judgment issue for the jury, not for the judge to decide, because there was nothing in the intrinsic record that goes to this tolerance issue. If I could turn for a minute to the means plus function element, if I could direct the court's attention to Appendix 55, Column 7, lines 44 to 59. There, the specification says, if this contact time is below...
Sorry, what's the line number?
Sorry, it's lines 44 to 59, and I'm quoting a piece of that right here. It says, if the contact time is below a maximum value, the control and supervision unit 60 applies the supply voltage to the supply line 20 by means of an internal voltage switch. So it's saying that the control unit is, in fact, the internal voltage switch. And that is enough structure. I would submit this court has had case after case where it has said that a black box where the only thing is missing is circuitry, which is the only thing that's missing here, is sufficient. It said that in technology licensing versus Videotech. It said in Telecordia and several other cases. So you've got the voltage switch which performs the function, and the only thing that's missing is internal circuitry. The last point I'd like to turn to for a minute is going back to the supposed disclaimer. I direct the court's attention to Appendix 322 to 323, and let me read. This is in our brief at page 34. It says, Condition A, this is simultaneous, is a subset or special case of Condition B. This is the examiner's rejection. If Condition A is met and the two contact pins are detected simultaneously, then Condition B is automatically met. The only thing they were doing was collapsing these two conditions. And it is absolutely clear that the examiner thought that zero time was included in both A and both and B. If you collapse them, then zero time has to be included. Thank you, Your Honor.
We thank both sides and the case is submitted. The panel will take a short recess before hearing.